This is AWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hello, this is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah School of Medicine. Welcome to our AWLS podcast series. We always want to remind you to go to wildmedu.org to look at the programs and the courses that you can study to learn about wilderness medicine and be safe in the backcountry.
Going into the wilderness or into the backcountry exposes most of us to diseases that we're not familiar with. Wilderness travel often takes us into tropical climates or into places where we normally don't go, and it becomes important for us to understand the diseases that are in those areas. But an old friend, if I can call them that, is now making a big advancement to places around the world where even people who aren't traveling into the wilderness are being seen, and this is dengue fever. Dengue fever is called fever because it presents with a very high fever, and it is a bad disease for a lot of people because of the pain and of the general suffering that they get from this. Dengue fever can be seen in urban environments, but it definitely is in the backcountry and wilderness environments. What is going on and why we're doing this podcast is because it is spreading. Where in the last decades it's been localized, it is now becoming a major threat in the southern United States, southern Europe, and in brand new parts of Africa, and it is becoming insanely dangerous in Bangladesh right now. It has long been a scourge in much of Asia and Latin America, where in those places it caused an estimated somewhere around 20,000 deaths each year. Rates of the disease have already risen eightfold globally since the year 2000, and that is driven largely by climate change as well as the increased movement of people and urbanization. And as the temperature gets warmer, the mosquito that carries dengue fever, the Aegyptus tiger mosquito, is spreading. One of the things that makes dengue a little scary is many cases go unrecorded. In 2022, 4.2 million cases were reported worldwide, and public health officials have warned that near-record levels of transmission are expected to increase. And as I said, Bangladesh is currently experiencing its worst ever outbreak with over 1,000 deaths. Dengue fever needs to have a discussion which is much more proactive. And countries which normally have not had it, like Southern Europe and the United States, really need to become aware of this. It is the mosquito which is carrying this. And so when we go into the backcountry and outdoors, we have to be very careful with this. The idea that it's going to take off in the United States, Europe, and African regions, which have had local transmission in a limited way, is now going to become very pronounced because of the rising temperature of the earth, making the mosquito spread to those areas. Let's talk just a bit about dengue. It is a virus. Most people aren't aware of that. And to be honest, most people in the world, half the people in the world, really don't know much about dengue because they're not exposed to it. There are four specific serotypes to this virus. And in one area, that one of the serotypes will predominate. So if you live, say, in one country and are traveling there or experiencing an outdoor experience in a specific country and you contract dengue fever and recover, if you go to another area and you assume that therefore you have antibodies and are no longer subjective to getting dengue, that is incorrect because in the new area you may have the different dengue virus. There are four, as we said. Now, the problem with that is if you do have dengue fever and get antibodies to it, and then you get dengue again from the different serotype of that virus, you will then have likely have a much more serious reaction to it and could die from that and get what they call hemorrhagic dengue fever and so on. So each time you get exposed to a different serotype, you become immune to that serotype. But then if you get exposed to a different one, then the reaction to the virus can be much more serious. So this is one of the problems with dengue fever spreading, is if you can get exposed to these different serotypes. And this is something that most people don't understand about dengue fever, even if they even know about dengue fever. Half the world's population is now at risk of the dengue virus. The estimates from the World Health Organization go from 100 to 400 million infections occurring each year. And the reason that number is so broad is because many of the infections are minor. And people don't know that it's dengue fever, that they just think it's just a typical, what they would call a viral infection. And so the numbers aren't known. The high, we said, is somewhere around 400, and the low is about 100. It is usually found in tropical and subtropical climates worldwide, mostly in urban and semi-urban areas. Many of the infections are asymptomatic or produce only mild illness, but it can become much more severe and even death, especially if you're exposed after having it to a different serotype. Lower your risk of getting dengue fever, of course, by avoiding mosquito bites, especially during the day, because it is the Aedes aegyptus mosquito which spreads it. And so by avoiding mosquito bites, you avoid getting the disease. Just a comment on what the symptoms are, because it's important to know. That is fever, high fever. If you get a high fever in your travels and go to different countries, different cities particularly, you are going to, if you get a fever, you have to consider dengue. Most likely when people travel, they get malaria if they have a high fever. But next on that list, it's got to be dengue fever. 40 degrees centigrade or 104 degree Fahrenheit is not uncommon. Headache, pain behind the eyes, muscle and joint pain. You can get nausea, vomiting with this disease. And another thing that they can get with this is a faint red rash all over. This is often called breakbone fever because of the pain that people often get in their joints. It's quite severe, actually, this pain. There is no treatment other than anti-inflammatories, paracetamol, Tylenol, things like that to help with that. Make sure people are getting fluids. But the main purpose of this podcast is to just be aware that this thing is spreading, and we need to be aware of that. It is endemic in more than 100 countries, specifically in Africa, the Americas, Eastern Mediterranean, Southeast Asia, the Western Pacific, places like this. But as we said, Southern Asia, our Southern Europe is getting it, and in the United States, it is now becoming much more prevalent. It's in Brazil, Colombia, the Cook Islands, Fiji, India, Kenya, Paraguay, Peru, the Philippines, the Reunion Islands, and Vietnam. In 2021, they had horrible outbreaks of this disease. Now, the question that we often get is it human to human to a mosquito vector? There is no evidence right now that there is maternal transmission from a pregnant mother to her baby. And it's also not known to be spread through blood transmission. Now, let's just talk real briefly about vaccines for this, because there's been some controversy and some interesting updates on vaccines. Let's review and just say that individuals are at greater risk of a very severe dengue disease when they experience two sequential dengue virus infections with two different dengue virus types separated by time in more than 18 months. But just having the sequential viruses is dangerous. And herein is where some of the problems with the vaccines come. Vaccination has long, of course, been recognized as the required foundation of a multi-pronged approach to reducing the global dengue burden. But developing a safe and effective dengue vaccine has been very difficult. For more than 75 years, scientists and product developers have attempted to design and advance safe and efficacious dengue vaccine candidates. But the challenges to this have been substantial and very formidable. Numerous different approaches are being explored right now, but only the live attenuated virus vaccines have achieved licensure or have reached advanced clinical development. So Sanofi Pasteur's dengue vaccine had the claim to being the world's first dengue vaccine, but that was not without creating a public health scandal. As we said, in 2015, the vaccine was registered in several of the most endemic countries in the world. However, in 2017, the Philippines reported that after their mass vaccination campaign, where hundreds of thousands of children were vaccinated, there were life-threatening risks for those who received the vaccine but hadn't previously had dengue. After this so-called scandal, Sanofi ceded, and while dengue vaccine went on to become FDA-approved, it has its limitations. This dengue vaccine is only approved for children ages 9 to 16 years old who have had laboratory-confirmed dengue fever. So that is the vaccine that is out there and the most predominant one. Takeda's dengue vaccine is out, and it has been approved by the Committee for Medical Products for Human Use of the European Medical Agency. Initially, that vaccine had been approved in Indonesia with the hopes of further approval by the European Union. So this new vaccine is only approved for individuals 4 years of age and older in Europe and in dengue endemic countries participating in the trial that they are doing. So the second vaccine is out, but is not widely available right now. So who should get a dengue vaccine? In the United States of America, the CDC recommends dengue vaccinations for children 9 through 16 years old, but only when they have been previously infected with dengue and living in areas where dengue is common. This previous infection should be confirmed by laboratory testing. This vaccine is different from other vaccines in that it is only recommended for people who have already been infected with the dengue virus. The reason is that children without previous dengue infection are at increased risk for severe dengue disease and hospitalization if they get dengue after they have vaccinated with the dengue vaccine. Therefore, we have to check and make sure by laboratory that they have been infected. That's sort of an update on the dengue vaccine and on dengue fever in general. Be careful when we go into the backcountry and travel, because while you're not exposed to dengue virus where you live, when you travel, you're going to be exposed to it, particularly as it is advancing into Southern Europe and into the United States and into areas of Africa where it has not been seen before. This ends the update on dengue and the virus and where it is spreading. And as always, we say thank you for listening.